Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsible day for the 14th of Tevet. Today we're going to study Pishut Piskei Uziel B'Shelo Tazman Lamed, the Uziel's response to number 30. These were about contemporary problems, and the question was, do you have to have a mezuzah in prison? This is for the 14th of Tevet of Tuf Shin Yud, which was the 3rd of January of 1950. So, the question was, in Latrun, and he's bringing back to a man, Rav Eliezerov, who I think might have been a Rav in Yerushalayim for a long time, but he had written a long tshuva himself about where the prisoners in Latrun, now by 1950 it's an Israeli prison, but it was originally a British prison, whether they're obligated in mezuzah, meaning they're living there for years, it's where they live, it's their homes, so they have to have a mezuzah, and he wants to know Uziel's opinion. So Uziel is going to take up a bunch of issues in terms of what creates an obligation in mezuzah. One of them is the question of what's called the dirat kavod. What the halacha is, you have to have the place that one is that we're thinking about in terms of putting a mezuzah up. It has to be what's called the dirat kavod. So the Rambam lists 10 conditions about a bayit, which doesn't mean a house; it means a room, a building, right? A structure, whether it will be obligated in mezuzah. So one of them is dirat keva, is that you have to live there in some kind of a regular way. And he says, though, that a beit kisei and a beit merkatz, and like that, are not obligated in mezuzah. A beit kisei would be a place where people relieve themselves, and a beit merkatz is a place where people bathe, like a bathhouse. Today, it would be like a shower room, but like those don't need a mezuzah. The source of that halacha is that we have a gemara that says, we have a brayta that says, bisharecha, in your gates, right? Both pasuk says, tzav mezuzah b'techo bisharecha. Could that include places where people relieve themselves? Tamid lomar bayit. So the way the Gemara in Yoma expresses it is, ma bayit asu le kavod. It's made for us to be able to live in a respectable way. So too, it has to be a place to be lived in a respectable way. If you just read it quickly, says Rav Uziel, it seems like the issue is, it's not necessarily a question of reading it quickly. It's a question of the flow of the sugya seems to say that it's a question of the level of smell, right? That in such places, the smell is very great. I actually, many years ago, saw an article, I forget where somebody suggested that today, with the bathroom facilities that we have, it might not be that way because we have plumbing that's good enough that generally bathrooms don't smell so much, which might theoretically have changed the halacha about those places. But we're going to assume, or Uziel is assuming, that bathrooms are places that there's a lot of smell, and the smell is the problem. Part of the reason he says that is because if you have a storehouse where you store your grain, or you have a barn, so a lot of times barns smell. But if you have a place where you leave cattle and it doesn't smell, and it's a place where women go to put on their makeup or their jewelry or their perfume to decorate themselves, to dress themselves up. So we hold that would be chayav mezuzah because they're using it as a place that they're living in it. Even though, so you see that when we talk about places that are not dirat kavod, we don't mean places where people don't live. We mean places where there's a problem. So it's got to be that a merchatz, a bathhouse where there's a lot of smell apparently, and a borski, a tanning facility, not tanning like people tanning, like when you tan leather, tan hide, so the chemicals you use to get the hide, turn the hide into leather, has a terrible smell to it, or it did at least in time of the Gemara, so those are not considered dirat kavod. Prisons aren't that way. Prisons don't have any particular terrible smell to them. They're kept up well enough that therefore they should be included in the standard of dirat kavod, and therefore by that standard they should require a mezuzah. Not only that, he says that the whole idea of dirat kavod applies to what the purpose of the place is. So a bathroom or a bathhouse, they're made to have those kinds of smells there. But in regular people's homes, even if it were to be true that they had something there that smelled that way, even if it smelled that way regularly, so that would, or fairly regularly, or had something there, that wouldn't change it. So he quotes the Torah of Uziel. He says that a bathroom, a merchatz, a bathhouse, a beit borski, a tanning, where you tan hides into leather, don't need a mezuzah, but any place that's for dira, that people actually live there regularly, it's going to be obligated in mezuzah, afilu afishu b'mekom hatnofet, even though there are things there that don't smell good and they aren't well. So for example, if somebody had a chamber pot and they got filled up and therefore now it has a smell in it, you might think, oh, it's not a Dirat Kavod anymore because there's a smell there. That's not the halacha. The halacha is that if people are living there, that's going to be a place, that's going to be considered a Dirat Kavod, even if it might be true that there's a smell there. Then Rav Uziel says, now that we've seen the halacha from its sources, and he's making a point here about learning and paskening halacha, he's going to turn now to the later authorities, to the Achronim, to see what they said, but he's saying, he's implying, and I think he said this other place too that I've seen, that that's not, you don't just open up, let's say, you know, Moshe Feinstein, who wasn't an issue for it, but you don't just open up the latest post and say, that's what they said, so it must be right. He says, you have to learn the sugya first, you have to know what you're talking about, and then you can see what they said. So now that he has seen that from his understanding of the Gemara, with how the Rambam paskins it and how the Tor paskins it, these are the earlier authorities, which seem to leave the conclusion to be that if there's a place that people live, which would include a prison, that even if it might be that from time to time there's smell there, nonetheless it's going to be chayev in a mezuzah. So he says, let's look at the later achronim and the later authorities, the chida, the person who wrote him, this Rav Eliezerov, had quoted to him the chida, who quoted a Rabbi Hillel who thought that a prison should be potter mi mezuzah, should not be obligated in mezuzah, because not a dirat kavod, and the chida disagreed, and the chida said, apologetically and politely, he said, but the whole idea is incorrect, that dirat kavod is only excludes places that are set aside, not for living in them, but for creating bad smells in them. So it might have been, you might have thought that the difference was that in a prison at the time, the prisoners' bathroom facilities were within the cell, right? They had a toilet in there, or they had whatever they had in there. So you might have thought that while it's also a place where they lived, it's also a Beit Kisei, and you might have thought that, that would have changed the halacha in terms of mezuzah. But he points out that, Rav Uziel points out that the Shulchan Aruch actually says in a place where you need a mezuzah, but there are also things that create smell there. So one example, the example of the Shulchan Aruch is you have children there, so in those times children would create terrible smells. They didn't have great diaper. They didn't have great diaper diapers that held back the smell in a great way. So he says it's better to cover the mezuzah, but it's clear that the mezuzah is required. So that's step one in our discussion. Step one in our discussion would have been to think maybe it's not a dirat kavod, maybe it's not considered a place of honor, and therefore to say you don't have the mezuzah. And the answer is that that's not true. That category of needing of being a place of honor means a place that people live in. And if people live there, then it's obligated to mezuzah, and that's true even if there's a bad smell there. And that will then be true also, even if the bad smell is there, that the Shulchan Aruch said, so the most you would do is you would cover the mezuzah, but no more than that. Step two is, what about if it's a place that you're living against your will? There is in the Gemara discussion in Yoma, back in the Gemara in Yoma, and this is how it, now when you know why it comes up in Yoma, the beginning of Yoma talks about the fact that a week before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol used to leave his home and he would live in the Beit HaMikdash while he prepared for the service of Yom Kippur. So to be sure that he could be properly prepared, they would separate him for a whole week from his wife, from his family. They wanted to be sure that he was going to be tar, he was going to be ritually pure, and all those things. So the Gemara has a discussion in Yom Yud Amid Bet, Kol HaLeshachot Shehayu BaMikdash, all the various offices in the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash was a complex administrative place. So there's a place where you offer the offerings, but there's all sorts of other offices that were there, and some of which people lived, including not just the Kohen Gadol, but you had Levim would sometimes sleep there overnight, especially if they were on watch. You had Kohanim would live there sometimes. So whatever it was, you had places where people were living. So in all of them, the Gemara says, there was no mezuzah, other than Lishkat Parhedrin, which was where the Kohen Gadol was. Amar Yehuda v'alo kama l'shachor yom mikdash she'alehen beit tirah v'lo yalehen mezuzah. He says, but there were a lot of places that people lived in the Beit HaMikdash, for not permanently, but they lived night to night. Somebody was there, but often. So, and none of them had a mezuzah. So the implication of the first opinion was that since the Kohen Gadol lives there, it becomes a place of living, and therefore it needs a mezuzah. Rav Yehuda says that's strange because there are other places that people live, and they don't get a mezuzah. So he says the whole Lishkat Parhedrin was a gezeira. It wasn't really required, obligated in mezuzah. They put up a mezuzah because, for reasons that he doesn't explain. It was just a gezeira, he says. So in the Gemara, on discussion of that Mishnah, or Brayta discussion, the Gemara says that The Rabbanan, the first opinion, held that even if somebody is forced to live somewhere, it's considered living, and it obligates in a mezuzah at a Torah level. And Rabbi Yehuda held that wasn't true. Rabbi Yehuda held that it's not considered dira, and therefore it's not considered living in that place, and therefore it wouldn't be obligated in mezuzah. And the difference of the Lishkat Parhedrin was they made it to Rabbanan because they didn't want people to think of it as the Kohen Gadol was being forced to live there. Even though the Kohen Gadol really was being forced to live there, they didn't want people to think that way about it because it was as part of preparation for the service of Yom Kippur, and you didn't want people to approach it in that way. Rabbi Zil points out that for that to make sense, you have to say that Rabbi Yehuda held that all the other people living in the Beit HaMikdash are also considered Dira Ba'al Korcham, that they were living there against their will. Not against their will, but they were forced to live there. They were obligated to live there. And that's why they didn't need a mezuzah. Because otherwise his comment doesn't make a sense. He says there's lots of living places. So it must be, so, and the Kohen Gadol is forced to live there. It must be that all the other people are forced to live there as well. So if that's true, then it means that, for the first opinion, that said, you put up a mezuzah for the Kohen Gadol, it must be that they held that Dira Baal Korcha is considered a Dira, and that would mean for our question in terms of prisons that you'd also need a mezuzah, right? So that's what he's getting from that circuit. For the discussion on the Kohen Gadol, where Rabbanan seem to obligate a mezuzah at the right level, and the Kohen Gadol is sort of forced to be there, it would seem that Rabbanan hold that Dira Baal Korcho is considered living there. And then Rav Uziel says, and a good proof of this is, the Rambam never mentions this condition as a condition of mezuzah. Right? We mentioned the Rambam has all these conditions for what qualifies as a structure that's obligated to mezuzah. He does not mention that it has to be a dira, it has to be a place the person is living voluntarily. So from that second rule, you also would think that prisons need a mezuzah. So you got rule number one was the question of whether it's not considered a dirat kavod, it's not a place of honor to live there because nobody wants to live in prison. That, he says, is not a function of whether or not people want to live there or not or are excited about living there. It's a function of whether it's a place dedicated to producing a bad smell, like a bathroom or a bathhouse. And if it's fundamentally a living place, even if it has a bad smell there regularly, so even if, for example, somebody's facilities are in that room or in that area and they have to have it there for a while and they don't clean their chamber pots all the time, nonetheless, it will be considered still a dirat kavod as long as people live there. Step number two was the question of whether a dirat Baal Korcho would be a disqualifying factor, that if you're forced to be there, either obligated by halakhically to be there or forced to be there physically. He says from the case of the Kohen Gadol and the discussion around the Kohen Gadol in terms of whether you needed a mezuzah in the Lishkat Parhedrin, it seems there are abundant hold that we've poskened like them. It seems that we hold that even if it's a dira Baal Korcho, it's still considered a dira. You're living there and therefore you need a mezuzah. So now the third question, what if it's a dirat arai? You're not there permanently. They're only for a little while. So I'm not sure why the Kohen Gadol example wouldn't have been a good example for that as well, but he goes into in a different direction. He goes through a long discussion that I think we will not profit from getting into. There's a bunch of shittot about the issue, but he says fundamentally, if you look at the sugyot, it seems that what we mean by dirat keva, meaning the halacha is you need a dirat keva. You need, so dirat keva sounds like it means you need a permanent living place. So it sounds like if I'm going to live there for a day or month, a week or a month, why, that's not a dirat keva, it's a dirat arai. But he says, no, if you look at the sugya properly, you realize that it's not that the person has to live there bikviut, regularly or permanently. It's that the place has to be made as a place that people reside or live in or use regularly. But if something's built for only a moment, that's what we mean by dirat arai, that would not need a mezuzah. So a prison is there all the time, and therefore it would by this standard also still need a mezuzah. Except that the chida actually goes the other way with it. The chida says, now, from the fact that you need a dirat keva, he thinks that maybe you can say that prisons shouldn't be, because people are put in prison for short periods of time, sometimes 40 days, he says, sometimes 2 months, and so therefore he says dirat arai. So the man writing to Rav Uziel had thought that meant that if the people aren't going to be there, are only going to be there for a short period of time, then that qualifies dirat arai. So he wrote, most of the prisoners who go into prison are there for a short period of time. And therefore, it shouldn't be considered a dirat arai, a temporary residence, not a permanent residence. So Rav Uziel says he doesn't understand what that means. It's a function of each person living there. If a person living there is 20 years, then for him, it's a dirat keva. And the fact that it's short-term for most people shouldn't have any effect. So he says, no, he thinks what the chida meant was that all prisons are inherently considered dirat arai, like rooms on a boat, on a ship. And the reason is because it's not set and fixed as a place to live. So today, I think you could argue about the ship question, right? I think you could argue about the prison question today, too. The Kiddush was writing hundreds of years ago. But on a ship, you have ships that sail all the time, and they always have people living in them. Because what Rav Uziel says is, the people traveling by ship sometimes will stay on the shore for a while, and they'll go down for a few days, and they'll come back. So it's not set and fixed that people are always going to be using it. And so, too, people in prison, it's considered always temporary because they want to get out, and you only want to put people. We don't want to put people in prison. We only put people in prison when they've done something that needs to be punished. So that he understands the chiddush to be saying is that prisons are inherently considered dirat arai because they're not really meant to house people. They're meant to house people if the need arises. But we'd all prefer that the need not arise. So that's considered step one. That is considered dirat arai, and the people themselves don't want to be living there. So that's step two, dirat arai. So that from that, Rav Uziel says the Chiddush tells us that a prison shouldn't need a mezuzah because it's considered a dirat arai. As opposed to, he says, by the way, for example, a hotel. You can say, well, then a hotel shouldn't need a mezuzah because you also only have people when they come to stay. But he says, but the point is, in a hotel, you always want to have people there. You want people to be coming there, and it's there for as long as people come and for as long as they want it. Whereas in a prison, whoever's there wants to get out, not because only because they're against their will, but because they don't like living there, and it's only there if the need arises. So the comparison to a ship, that would be interesting, because if you have a cruise ship, it seems to be more like a hotel than it would be like a prison. But for prison purposes, he thinks then we don't have to have a mezuzah, perhaps. Then there's a question of shutfut im hagoyim. What if you have a partnership with non-Jews in a prison? So I'm not sure what the case was in 1950. It might be that there's still leftover partnership with the British about prisoners who were there because it had originally been a British prison and then the British left, and I think that's what he means. But he points out that there's a Gemara that talks about various issues as to whether or not having a partnership with a non-Jew would change the halacha around them. So for example, let's say I grow a crop. Do I need to give truma from that crop? So the Rava is talking about the position of Rabbi Eli, and he points out that Rabbi Eli agrees that with the truma, it says digancha, yours. So you might have thought, if you have any partnership, right, that's another issue. Let's say two Jews together own a field, and they have a crop. Do they have to give truma from? You might have said, well, the pasuk says digancha, yours, and digancha means it's all yours. So he says, so maybe you would have thought, yours, yes, in a partnership. No, but he says, no, trumoteichem. As long as it's your truma and it's coming from you, whoever you are, so then why does it say digancha, yours, and to emphasize yours? It tells you that if you have a partnership with non-Jews around a crop, then you wouldn't give truma. Similar libud is made for peah, and a similar one for bechorah, meaning if a Jew and a non-Jew own an animal together, then the firstborn doesn't have to be treated as a bechor, and this is one of the ways that Jews got around the issues of bechor throughout history. They would form some kind of a partnership with the non-Jew for these purposes. So in all these cases, you have this situation. With mezuzah, in that same Gemara, it goes on to talk about mezuzah, and it says, even though it says mezuzah beitecha, you might have thought yours, and if you own a house in partnership with somebody, with another Jew, you won't have to give a mezuzah, you won't have to put up a mezuzah. The Gemara says, no, because it says l'man yirimechem, and that tells you even if you have a partnership. So why does it say beitecha? Now, if you're following the flow of the Gemara, you'd think it would say, it doesn't say, it says beitecha to tell you that if you had a partnership with a non-Jew, it won't be obligated in mezuzah. But instead, it ends by saying, lechid rabba, another halacha of rabba, that rabba said, it tells you, beitecha bi'atcha, the way you walk in, you put the mezuzah on the right as you walk in. So that's an important halacha, but the Tosfos right there say, why didn't it say that it paters shutfut goy? And they give an answer, that it paters, that it exempts you if you have a partnership with a non-Jew in this house. So it gives the Tosfos give an answer there, but the answer isn't, because in fact, it doesn't. So the Rav Uziel says, it seems like Tosfos really think that in fact, if you have a partnership with a non-Jew in a home, in a residence, in a structure, you won't have to put up a mezuzah. So that's the way Tosfos has it, and that's the way the Ramah seems to bask in it, but the Gra points out that the Rashba held the other way. The Rashba held that no, even if you have a partnership with a guy, with a non-Jew, it's obligated to mezuzah, and he derived it, the Rashba said exactly from this Gemara the other way, that the Gemara didn't go on with that inference. It shows you that it thinks that, that it's obligated in mezuzah, even though it's in partnership with a non-Jew. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon points out that the Shulchan Aruch said so in the Bedek Abayit, in the Beit Yosef, and says Rav Uziel, and this is something that Rav Yosef eventually also took up as a banner, you know, as a calling card of Pesach. He said, we live in Eretz Yisrael, we are residents in Israel, Shehi Atrei Dimaran, that the Shulchan Aruch is the postsake for Eretz Yisrael. So in his time, it was still much more largely true than it is today, but that the Rav Uziel in 1950 is saying we should treat all of Eretz Yisrael as the place that the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo, is the Rav for, and therefore the Pesachim of the Shulchan Aruch should rule Eretz Yisrael. So a bunch of Ashkenazim came along, and we don't do that quite as much anymore, because they all said, no, we do what we do. But Rav Uziel is saying that we should pasken halacha like what he says. So therefore, if you have a place that Jews and non-Jews own together, they should be obligated to mezuzah, because that's the way the Shulchan Aruch, that's the way Rav Yosef Karo passed on the issue. And the Chida also said, if you're sure that you're living with, even if you're living with a non-Jew, and you're sure the non-Jew won't mistreat the mezuzah, you should be putting up a mezuzah, even though you have a partner who's a non-Jew in the residence, and you don't make a bracha, but you should put up the mezuzah. So that would also say you should have a mezuzah. So far, the only reason we've had to not have a mezuzah is the question of it being a dirat arai, a place that people don't want to live there, and that it's not set up necessarily to always live there. It's set up only if need arises. And then fifth point that Rav Uziel makes up is the question of what if it's the prison completely belongs to non-Jews? So far we're talking about a prison that we're talking about a residence, a structure that was in a partnership between Jews and non-Jews, but something that belongs completely to a Jew, to a non-Jew, everybody should agree that it's patur, that it's not obligated to mezuzah, because even if somebody rents an apartment from a non-Jew, there's a debate among the poskim as to what you do about that. The Baal HaTosfos of Yitzchak of Dom Pierre actually held that you're pater from Torah law even after 60 days, and it's only Drabbanan. The Rambam did not say that you have to own the place that you're living, and therefore he seems to think that somebody rents an apartment, rents a living place, it's going to be obligated to mezuzah, even if the landlord is a non-Jew. So Rav Uziel again goes through, I skipped a little bit of his discussion of it, but he says that there are three opinions in the Rishon. And the Rambam holds you're going to be obligated on a Torah level even as a renter from a non-Jew. The general Tosfos hold that a renter is always obligated only to Rabbanon, because the house doesn't belong to him, the residence doesn't belong to him. And then the third opinion is the Ri, who holds that if you rent it from a Jew, you're going to be obligated, but if you rent it from a non-Jew, you're going to be obligated to be the Rabbanon at a rabbinic level. So when it comes to a prison that belongs to non-Jews, according to the Ri, you should definitely be pater, because he only thought a guy who was renting would be obligated to Rabbanon. But this guy, the prisoners aren't renting, they're forced to be there, they don't want to be there. So that element of they don't want to be there wasn't enough to say that they're patur, but since it belongs to a non-Jew, it's certainly, he thinks, enough to say they don't have to put up a mezuzah while they're being forced to live there. Tosfos also would hold that he's patur, that the residents there, the prisoners, would not have to put up a mezuzah because it doesn't look like it is, and so the whole issue was whether it belonged to him or not. Rav Uziel thinks actually even the Rambam would hold that if you're a prisoner in a non-Jew's prison, you wouldn't be obligated in a mezuzah because you don't have the rights over the place anyway. And the lack of rights means that it's not really yours, not your ownership, and therefore the fact that you happen to be there does not obligate you in a mezuzah. So that would be a reason for them not to have to be a mezuzah if it's a prison that belongs to non-Jews. But now, in 1950, it's already a prison that belongs to the state of Israel. And therefore, he says, I think you're right that the asirim are peturim. The prisoners are not going to be obligated in mezuzah for some of the reasons we've said. A, it doesn't belong to them. And B, it's a dirat keva. It's a dirat arai and some of the other issues. But he thinks the Medina itself, the state itself, is obligated to put up a mezuzah because these are residences that it runs and owns, and it puts Jewish prisoners in them. So he says it's like when you have a barn or you know, or a chicken coop, and anything that the owner of something uses, if the owner uses it, even the people who are living there aren't going to be obligated to mezuzah. So in this case, it's because it's cows and it's chickens, but he's using it for various purposes of his own. He's got to put up mezuzah on it. It's like he's living there, and therefore it's obligated to mezuzah, midin Torah, because it's his place, and it's a place that he uses for his purposes. So since the state of Israel uses these prisons for their purposes, they have to put up a mezuzah. So that is the discussion that Rav Uziel had on the 14th of Tevet of Tafshin Yud about mezuzah in prisons. That there are lots of reasons to think, there are lots of reasons to think you wouldn't be obligated to mezuzah that aren't quite true. Then there are some reasons to think the prison is not obligated to mezuzah, especially if it was a prison that belonged to non-Jews. Once it's a prison that belongs to the state of Israel, Rav Uziel's final conclusion is that by virtue of the fact that it belongs to the state of Israel, and the state of Israel are Jewish, thank God, so that they, as the state, the owners of the prison, are going to be obligated to put up a mezuzah on it because it is a residence, it is a structure that's used for residential type purposes, and they are Jews using it, and that already makes it obligated to mezuzah. And that is a responsible day for the 14th of Tevet. Have a great day.